Good morning. Yes, good morning. Let me just pray, if I may. Father, we just commit this time to you. Father, we just want to thank you so much for your grace and your willingness to just be with your people. And I think it's your heart's desire, actually, to be our God and for us to be your people and to dwell with your people. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that actually that's what it's all gearing up for, Lord. That's where it's all going, Lord, that forever and ever, Lord, you will be our God and we will be your people and you will dwell with your people. And we're so grateful, Father, for that amazing love, Lord, which has reached out to bring us in. And so, Father, we just commit this time to you. I commit the words that I shall say to you and ask, Lord, that you would just bless us and excite us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title this morning is again, Thy Kingdom Come. I should explain the picture, if you can see it. This is actually my daughter, Sarah. I thought it was appropriate simply because this thing of the kingdom is partially visible, but not completely. And there is still yet more for us to see. And to come into. On the evening of the 6th of August 1972, it was a Sunday, and I was walking home around Baffin's Pond here in Portsmouth. I'd been to church. I usually went to church on a Sunday to keep my parents happy, usually in the evening, but that day it had been on a Sunday morning. God had arranged circumstances in such a way, but you don't always realise that at the time. And the chap that spoke that morning, he was a visiting speaker, and there was just something about what he said. Well, in fact, every word somehow penetrated my defences. But of course, as is sort of typical, I did nothing about it. But God decided that he would. And so that evening as I walked home, I was sort of half reflecting on what sort of cad I was, to use an old-fashioned word. And suddenly this weight came upon me. What I would now call conviction of sin just descended upon me. And I knew God was doing something, even though I didn't want to recognize it at the time. Anyway, I went home. Next day, I got up, went to work, felt exactly the same. And I cried out to God during the day when I was on my own at work. I don't think I was quite ready at that point. Got home in the evening, had something to eat. And before I went out, I thought, this is silly. Get a grip. You know, get a grip. So I picked up my book and went, put some music on just to relax and chill. And I did all this without thinking, and I sat down with my book in our lounge at home. And what I put on, it was obviously vinyl in those days, and out came the words from Jesus Christ Superstar, I don't know how to love him. And for me, that was the last straw. I went and just told my mother what was going on, and I rang the minister to make an appointment for the next day, which would be the 8th of the 8th. Didn't know the significance then. And so the next day I did go and see the minister. And because he knew what I was like, he was well aware that in the corner of his church was this group of youngsters who really were not really, you know, not really with it. And so anyway, we talked and he talked with me. I guess assessing where I was at, and was this genuine? And then he said, let's pray. And rather than leading me in a prayer of, you know, or now, just say what I say. And I very gratefully didn't do that. Instead, what he did was draw up a hard-backed dining chair and said, yeah, kneel here. So I knelt at the chair and I was kneeling there and I'm thinking, what do I say? I don't know what to pray. And then I heard this guy called Frank Sanderson, just very gently and quietly praying, come, Lord Jesus, come. And so I said, yes, yes, Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And I don't think that God ever fails to answer that prayer. It's, you know, when we call out, come, then he answers the prayer, and he certainly answered it for me. I was totally and utterly transformed at that moment. And God is so good. And there are a number of scriptures, aren't there? I'm sure you can think of them with the word come in them. Some of them are where God is saying, are promises from him, and he'll fulfill them. And some of them are things to us, and we may or may not fulfill them. But let me just show you a few of them. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know how often we respond to that incompleteness. Psalm 100, verse 2, come into his presence with singing. In fact, the verse starts, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. It's a good thing to try and do in the mornings, isn't it, as we emerge. Isaiah 55, verse 1, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Hosea 6:1. Come, let us return to the Lord. And Lord, we want to just pray that indeed that would be the case in our country at this time. And indeed, even in the church. Come, let us return to the Lord. Lord, amen. Mark 10, in verse 14. Let the children come to me. Don't hinder them, but let the children come to me. And Father, we just want to pray that as well. Lord, we've heard how desperate our young are. And we pray, Lord God, that Father, Lord, they would come. Lord, we send this out. Let the children come to me, to Jesus. He is the answer. Hallelujah. Then John 17, verse 1, Jesus in his first advent, his physical advent on earth, he says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. And then John 14 and verse 3, he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And that's his promise, and he always keeps the promise to come. And it says, I'll come again, I'll take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Hallelujah. What amazing promises they are. But there's a couple more in Revelation 22. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Yeah, should I just do that again? And we can join in with the come. The Spirit and the bride, that's us, say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Now, I'm sure that you remember word for word everything I shared last time I spoke. And I could test you, you know, what was the second word in the third line of, you know, but of course that's not true. So let me just give a brief recap of what I said last time when we were looking at kingdom living. Sorry, I keep moving this, don't I? We looked at four questions. And four key questions. The first one was, what was meant by kingdom? And we saw that Jesus, when he was speaking to a crowd of Pharisees, he was standing in the middle of them all, in the midst of them, and he said, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. And so we saw that the kingdom was where the king is and where he is sovereign. And so that the focus must be on the king. We also saw, or looked at, whether there was a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And for reasons which I won't explain now, we decided that they were the same. They're the same thing. Oh, I didn't change the order of these. Let me go on to the next one. We then looked at, is the kingdom the same as the church? And we saw that the answer to this was yes and no. They coexist at present, but the kingdom actually starts before and continues after the church. But the way into the kingdom at the moment, as it were, is to become part of the church of Jesus Christ by being born again through believing in Jesus. So let's go back to the third of the questions. Is the kingdom present or future? And I'd just like to spend a little bit of time on that. And we actually saw that the kingdom of kingdom was actually both present and future. So hopefully you can see this little diagram. You'll see that in here we have two kingdoms coexisting. We have the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, and also the kingdom of darkness, ruled over, as it were, by the prince of the power of the air. And you'll see that there are two titles for this period of time, which span the comings of Jesus, the first and second physical comings of Jesus. You'll see that we can call it the church age, because that is the period in which the church exists. But it's also referred to as the present evil age. And you'll see that if there's two kingdoms here coexisting, it's not harmonious. It's a battle that's going on all the time. There's always friction, and it's why there's always tribulation and difficulty and so on. But the battle is the Lord's, and he has the victory. And it also helps to explain one of those verses, doesn't it, about the violent take it by force, because actually salvation is a violent act. You know, the devil doesn't say, oh, you'd quite like to join God's kingdom. Well, okay, off you go. He's hanging on. And so it's a wrenching from the old kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. It is a battle that is going on at this present time. But we have weapons, don't we? We have weapons that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So just moving on in time to time yet future, though as I said last time, who knows, 10 years time, this might be where the world is at. So in the period after Jesus' second coming, we have a period known as the millennium or the millennial kingdom, kingdom age, which continues for 1,000 years until something called the Great White Throne. And this is my main focus this period from now on in this talk. But just to show you what comes after that, after the Great White Throne and the sheep and the goats and various things that are sorted then, we go into the new heaven and the new earth, or the eternal state. And when we say things like, well, we're going to spend eternity in heaven, actually what we're referring to is this, the new earth and the new heavens. And of course the new Jerusalem, which appears also. So Our title then was Thy Kingdom Come. And it comes from Matthew, from the Lord's Prayer, of course, or the model prayer that Jesus used to teach us. And it says, Jesus said, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And Martin last week shared how much, what a shock that would have been to use that phrase, Father. It was revolutionary at that time for us. We perhaps take it a bit too much for granted. And it goes on, of course, hallowed be your name, or your name be holy, honoured as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. So, in Vine, W.E. Vine's expository dictionary, when I was looking this up, I just looked up the word come in there. And he tells us, and I believe him, that the tense that's used here for the word come rules out any sort of gradual progress or development, but rather indicates a sudden occurrence or event. And Vine therefore takes it that he's referring to the future. Now we can pray it obviously for the present as well, just as I did when I asked the Lord to come and I came into his kingdom at that point. But actually the specific reference here that Jesus was teaching was to pray for his kingdom to come on earth. Suddenly, when he appears, one of the suddenlies of God. So I just want to have a little look now at the kingdom with you. This is the future reign of Jesus Christ on earth as king. Now, Tim LaHaye and Thomas Ice tell us that the word millennium, and I'm sure you all know this, is a Latin term, and it literally means 1,000 years. And in Revelation 20, it tells us that this period, it's only here that it's revealed that this will be 1,000 years, this kingdom. So let's just read this through. And then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And through him, that's Satan, into the pit, and shut it and sealed it over, so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Oh, I've gone on more, haven't I? Where did I get to? Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. And over such, the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. And so we have a period, as I say, 10 years' time, this could be what the situation is. Could be. We ought to get a bit excited, really. And that Christ is reigning on earth. Hallelujah. The devil's bound up and for 1,000 years. Again, LaHaye and I say, the millennium is the capstone of history and a precursor to eternity, as we saw. During this time, Jesus Christ will be the focus of all creation. He will visibly rule over the entire world in power and great glory. It will be a wonderful time in which righteousness and peace will prevail. So what will this millennial kingdom be like? Well, Christ will sit on the throne of David, and he'll rule the world, bringing peace and righteousness. It will be a time of great spiritual triumph in which national Israel will fulfill her destiny. The Gentiles will partake of tremendous blessings through Jesus Christ and the nation of Israel. And there will be great environmental transformation. God has the answer. Oops, going the wrong way. We see it here in Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Wonderful. All creatures, both wild and tame, will live in harmony. And we have it here in Isaiah again. Isaiah 11. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, and their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. There will be an absence of sickness and disability. In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book. And out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. And no inhabitant will say, I am sick. The people who dwell there will be forgiven their iniquity. And people in this time will enjoy prosperity as poverty, injustice and disease cease. Jeremiah 31. And they shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion. And they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall be like a watered garden, and they shall languish no more. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy, and I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will feast the soul of the priests with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord. Spiritual life will be like nothing experienced ever before. And some of us have had wonderful experiences, but it's nothing compared with what it will be. Again, Isaiah 11 and 9. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you get a picture of how glorious this time is. And that's what being asked, Jesus has taught us to pray for. Thy kingdom come, Lord. And it will be sudden. It will be sudden. And the bride gets herself ready with the hope of help of the Holy Spirit as well, obviously. So I'm just going to finish. I hope you're a little bit excited in your spirit about what's coming. And we're going to finish just in Revelation 22. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Should we just say this together? Should we say it together? Yeah. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for listening. I think Ben and the others are going to lead us in a particular chorus now. Thank you, Lord. Father, I'll just pray as they're coming up. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord. And Father, forgive us if we're dull of heart or dull of whatever, Father. Help us to just catch a glimpse, Lord, in these days. Father, forgive us that in the West we are a little bit I don't know, lax, a little bit covered over, Lord. And Father, we just want to catch a glimpse of your glory, catch a glimpse of that which you're doing, Lord, and that which you will do. And thank you for the promise, O God, that you will come in all your glory and that you will share it with us. Oh, how wonderful, Lord. How wonderful. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your focus has always been that you will dwell with your people here on earth, Lord God, and your dwelling will be with us. And Lord, we just want to glory in it, Lord. We want to glory in that fact, Lord, and just help us, Lord, to drop away from all the things that we're trying to work at or trying and striving to do. Help us to lift our eyes and see the coming King. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen.